going to attempt to push all the correct buttons here. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
As we continue the journey, what an incredible journey that Israel was on, and what an incredible journey we are on. And in this message today, I hope we are able to pick out the parallels, things that happened in the Old Testament, things that happen in the natural are always teaching us about things that are going on in the Spirit. And we are people of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom not of this world, Jesus said. This kingdom of God which we are a part of is a kingdom of the Spirit. I've got to find all of the right buttons here. Technically challenged. What a journey. I think these people that we read about, and I know that you read ahead and you studied ahead and you've read this chapter and you're all prepared. If you'll notice that you have a kind of a different sort of paper today, not a lot of lines and spaces taken up for blanks to be filled out and all of that, a little bit different because I wanted you to have plenty of room because you're going to discover so many spiritual nuggets and inspirations. I expect to see you poised with your pen in hand, ready to jot down everything that is going to help you, because I believe that the message today is designed and inspired by God to help us. God was trying to help his people. He had heard their cry. They had called out of Egypt, and they were so burdened and so distressed by the bondage that they were under. And then we have followed them out, and as they have come out of Egypt, they act like humans. Do we ever act like humans? Yeah. We have come to Jesus. We have asked him to come into our heart and into our life. And wouldn't it be good if when we committed our life to Christ and when we just handed ourselves over to him, then all we had to do was just punch our ticket, sit back, and coast into heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Never a problem, never a gray day, never a rainy day. It would never rain in Autzen again. And that life would just be good and wonderful. But that's not the life that we have. That's not the thing that we have. These people just, they tend to be grumblers, we're finding out in this journey. And I know that none of us in this room ever grumble. We never bump into situations that cause us to grit our teeth and grind our teeth and wonder why. Do you ever wake up some days in a situation, in a circumstance, and you ask the question, why is this happening? What's going on? Well, we're just not a lot different than these people. We too are, we're just human beings. And God wants to help us. God wanted to help them. God was there. Sometimes we're going to learn, I think, hopefully we'll think about it at least in this course of this message, is sometimes we get so focused on our valleys, on our difficulties and our problems and our troubles, that we forget to focus on the one who's the problem solver. We forget to focus on the one who is the promise maker, and not just a promise maker, but the promise keeper. And we forget to look up. We get our noses so focused on our troubles that we forget to look up. And as we forget to look up, the thing gets darker and bigger and gloomier. I want you to do a dumb experiment with me this morning. This isn't in my notes. My wife is cringing at this point. This isn't in my notes, but I want you to do just a dumb little experiment with me this morning. Can you do that? Make a fist. Not everybody's doing this now. It's a full participation project. Make a fist. Now hold up your little finger. Close your left eye and hold your little finger right up to your face. Now tell me, what do you see? You see your little finger. That small little digit that's on the end of your arm. And when we focus so much on just one little thing, it blocks out everything else. Problems are going to come in life, and I'm getting way off my notes here, so I need to get back. The title of the message is What Happens on the Mountain Matters. In chapter 13, God decided not to take Israel the short way into the promised land, because if they faced a battle, they may want to return to Egypt. And just ironically, in this portion of scripture that we're going to look at today, they're going to face a battle. They're getting tested. Not just tested, they're getting prepared. Because see, this journey that started in Egypt is going to take them through the wilderness, and this journey is going to go further than the city of Jericho. It's going to go past the cities that they're going to conquer. It's going to go to a little town called Bethlehem. This journey is headed to Bethlehem. Christmas is coming. If you've been to Walmart, you know. It started in August. But this journey is going to lead to Bethlehem. And this journey is going to lead to Gethsemane. And this journey is going to lead to Mount Calvary. And this journey is going to lead to Jesus coming to the door of the hearts of people and knocking. Yea, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens up to me, I will come in. So these things that we're looking at in the past aren't just historical things. It's just not ink on paper to make the Bible thicker. It is stuff that is for us in our lives today. And so hopefully we will capture. Chapter 16, the whole congregation grumbled and looked back when they sat at the pots of meat and ate bread to the full. Not discouraged by an army, but by the circumstances of lack of food and water. In spite of all they had seen God do, think about it. Now in your lifetime, in your spiritual experience, have you seen God do great things in your life? Yes. Three of us. In spite of all that they'd seen God do, they had seen the plagues happen in Egypt. They had walked across the Red Sea on dry land. That in and of itself would be enough for me, I would think. You know, I would think that that would be a pretty significant thing, that whatever God can do, wants to do, he will do, because I walked across on dry land. But not these people, and not you and I sometimes. When they needed water, water was provided. When they needed food, food was provided. No 7-Elevens, no Dunkin' Donuts in the desert. Nothing out there for them. And we would be having question marks in our mind the same way as they did. And then they had the manna, the bread from heaven. Yet they were prone to grumble. Today's scripture is Exodus 17. 8 to 16, and I think that it might be up there. Boy, that's a font that I can't read. Read it with me, would you? While the people of Israel were still in Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men and go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a hill, nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. So Moses' arm soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. Remember that drill? So Aaron and Hur could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone to set for him to set on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After that victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll, at a parchment reminder, and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. You're going to read over in your Bible. I know you're going to do it. You're going to read over into Deuteronomy, and you're going to discover, farther over into the Bible, that Amalek eventually does get just wiped out by God's people. Now, I would bet that some folks were really upset. They had got the water issue dealt with. They have got the food issue dealt with. And just when things were looking up, now an attack from an army of people. Imagine, you ever had those days where it just, you need some relief, you just need some intervention, you need some answers, and it feels like the answers are coming, and then you wake up the next day and more trouble. And Deuteronomy chapter 25, 17 tells us who Amalek attacked. He attacked the stragglers at the rear of the procession, the faint and the weak and the weary. They were being attacked. Now, why were they at the rear of the procession? Well, somebody has to be. But my thought is that they were back there and they were weary and they were struggling because maybe they had big bags of junk that they were trying to drag along with them from Egypt. You know, they were just, because remember, they just got through saying, oh, you brought us out here to die. We're going to starve to death in the wilderness. And we would just, it would be better for us just to be sitting by the pots in Egypt and having all we could eat, even though it was hard and difficult, and we were calling on you to deliver us from that. That's a mind blower. So here was Moses' battle plan. Engage the enemy. He sent Joshua to the battlefield. And Moses and Aaron and Hur go up to the mountaintop to pray and intercede and support. Now, I think possibly the grumbling people weren't necessarily, it doesn't say this in there, but can you imagine? Here's the battle plan. You guys take up arms. Now, this is the Moses that they were ready to stone here a while back. And he's telling them, you guys take up arms and go down in the valley and take on the enemy, and I'll go up on the mountain. Some of them probably scratched their head and said, wait a minute. Am I sure I really want to follow this plan? But yet, as we read the end of the story, we know that the plan ultimately is the victory for everybody. Following the plan. Now, we want to draw a parallel. This isn't just a story in the Bible to check off of your, yeah, we've been there box. This is a story in the Bible that is there, left there on purpose and preserved by the Holy Spirit through time for us in our lives and in our time today. Why? Because we are, when we come to Christ, we don't get to punch our ticket and get a roller coaster downhill ride, free and easy, sit back, put our feet up, sip coffee into the kingdom of God, into the pearly gates. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Now, the whole 12th chapter of Revelation is a snapshot of the history of Satan versus God versus Israel, Satan wanting to devour the Christ. All through the Old Testament, you're going to find that Satan wants to avoid Bethlehem. He wants to avoid Mount Calvary because Satan knows that his ultimate defeat is going to come in the person of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You can say amen or shout or clap your hands anytime you want to, because that should make you really happy. God's plan from the very beginning was you. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. And you know who the joy that was set before him was? You. For the joy of knowing you as sons and daughters. For the joy of having you as part of his great kingdom. For the joy, for that joy, he hung on a cross. And he died, and he rose again. In Revelation chapter 17, it says, so the dragon, Satan, was enraged with the woman, Israel, and he, Satan, went off to wage war. What was that word? War. On the rest of her children, i.e. believers, those who keep and obey the commandments of God, have the testimony of Jesus, holding firmly to it and bearing witness of him. That's you. That's me. We are at war. Israel was traveling and Israel was moving out of Egypt and headed toward the plan and the promise that God had made to Abraham. They were going to inherit a land that God had given and promised and covenanted with Abraham in the past, and now they're at war. And Moses has a battle plan, and that battle plan is up on the top of a mountain. And he is going to stand there with his arms raised, and he is going to intercede on behalf of the battle that's raging in the valley. And we just read it. And he gets weary. Isn't it great that we have a church family? Because as we are interceding, as we are fighting our spiritual battles, we have those who can come alongside us, like Aaron and like her, and help us hold our hands up and win the victory over Satan. Isn't it great to win a victory over Satan? I mean, kick him in the teeth. Beat him up, beat him down. We can't do that in our flesh, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So what's our battle plan? The Amalekite attack was an event. It happened. It was a day. It was a given day. Our spiritual battles are daily. You remember Jesus told us, he told us while he was on the earth, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. This journey that we are on is an everyday journey. It's a daily journey. It's a journey that we need to take seriously. It's a journey that we need to really engage ourselves in. Our spiritual battles are daily. The whole armor of God is not optional. You remember that scripture? Take unto yourselves the whole armor of God. Now that doesn't come under the heading of a suggestions list. The whole armor of God idea is intense. It's not take the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird around with truth, feet shod with the preparation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Those aren't items to just put in a duffel bag and carry around with us passively. Stay away from me, Satan. I have armor of God in this bag. And if you come and try to mess with me, I'm going to unzip my bag. So you just hang tight. Just hang tight while I slip into my uniform here. No, that's not the plan. The plan is for us to wear the uniform every day. To be engaged every day. I have used the illustration a few times, more than my wife wants to know. But driving down the freeway in your car, isn't there a magic button on your somewhere near your steering wheel? You get up to a certain speed, traffic's not too bad, and you push. I'm sorry? Cruise control, yeah. And there's a temptation for us as Christian believers to use cruise control. I'm born again. I'm not too bad. I do most of the things that the scripture tells me to do. I have the instant repent card. Oh, I got mad in traffic and I said something I shouldn't have. Repent. And we're just going through life and we whip out our repent card and we're just kind of on cruise control. Sometimes Saturday night comes and it's, do I want to get up and go to church tomorrow? It's been a tough week. Or, you know, we just need to understand that this is war. It's warfare that we're engaged in, and we cannot casually approach. That's why in 1 Peter 5:8 it says this. I'm going to read it in this because I can't read that. It says, be sober, which is means being well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be sober. Who wants to walk around, be sober? You know, I think up there it says something like stay alert. Well, we're coming to that. Be alert and cautious at all times. Be alert. Be sober and be alert. Are you with me still? Okay. Your enemy, the devil, your enemy, they had Amalekites. We have the devil. And he's bold and he's brazen and he's brash. Do you remember that after 40 days of prayer and fasting in the wilderness, that the devil confronted the Son of the living God and misrepresented scripture to him? And if we think that we are going to be immune to the attacks of the devil, we better wake up. Because scripture tells us that our adversary, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Now, I've heard over the years people say, yeah, he's a roaring lion, but his teeth have been pulled and his claws have been taken out and all of that. I don't read that part in this scripture. Because it says he's seeking someone to devour. This is serious business, being a Christian. This is serious business, being a part of the kingdom of God. It's serious business, being a part of Journey Church. There are people in this church who need your help. And there are times that you need their help. That's what the church, the family of God, is all about. That's what the Aaron and her picture is all about. So, remember, the Amalekites came to the rear of the pack and they attacked the weary and the weak and the faint, the isolated and the vulnerable. And if we allow ourselves to get too much into the cruise control mentality, going through the motions of church and religion and not staying connected and intense in our faith. So, we have to think about what it is we're going to do. So, what does your valley look like? Who is your Amalek? This godless one, the scripture says. Who is this Amalek? What are your war battles that go on in your life? Is it fear? Is it wounds from the past? You know, Satan knows how to make those things. Is it anger, pride? Is it self-condemnation from mistakes you've made? Is it secret addictions? Is it spiritual drift, compromise, or maybe indifference at times? Things that we struggle with in our daily journey. Why? Because we're people. And we have to be honest, don't we? We're good in America and in the world that we live in wearing masks. I walk up to you this morning and hold out my hand to say, hi, I'm Dennis, how are you? And I'm Jimmy Joe Bob, and I'm fine. I'm fine. But behind the mask, there may be pride, there may be fear, there may be wounds, there may be things that are under the surface, there may be those bags of junk that we're dragging along with us from Egypt that just weigh us down and hold us back and keep us from having that victory, that victorious life in Christ. So at the end of the day, we can go home, pull off our full armor of God, prop our feet up and say, yep, another day we beat Satan. That's right. And the only days that we need to beat Satan up are days that end in Y. Mark that down in your notes. That is a gold nugget. Only on days that end in Y should we be beating up Satan. These battles in our life were as real as the Israelites facing an army of Amalekites. They didn't do battles like we do today. You know, some guy in a ship with a computer screen pushes a button, launches a rocket, and annihilates some people. They were eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, bad breath to bad breath. It was life and death. And these battles in our life are just that real. Behind your mask, behind your, I don't want to expose to other people that I'm struggling in any area of my life because I'm an American, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to be super. I'm a superhero. You know, we live in the superhero generation. You know, leap tall buildings with a single bound and have bazookas in our fists and stuff. You know, we're supposed to be that way, but we're not always. Sometimes we're broken. Sometimes we're hurting. Sometimes we're just under the attack of the enemy. I don't care if you've been a Christian 50 years. There are going to be days when the enemy is going to come and try to catch you in a weak moment and pull you down. And that's why the scripture says, be alert. Be careful. If there was a sign on the back doors, you went out into the parking lot to get in your car and go to Cracker Barrel. Oh, no, you don't want to go there. They closed it. Yeah. Anyway, if there was a sign on the door that said, beware, there's a rabid wolf-like dog roaming the neighborhood, and if he bites you, it's not going to be good. Beware. You suppose you'd go out the back doors whistling, I love Jesus, he loves me. I live in awesome victory, or something like that. I think you might be on the alert. We need to be on the alert. What happens on the mountain matters. So as Moses and Aaron and Hur, as Moses were on the mountain and as Moses kept his arms raised, there was victory. That raising of the arms, you know, as we raise our hands in worship is to honor and respect and give glory to God, to surrender ourselves to him. That is also a depending upon him, acknowledging that he is the one that's going to keep his promises and surrender. And as we stay in that position, as we stay in that mode, and we stay in that attitude on days that end in Y, we can live in victory. That doesn't mean hard things don't come. It just means we have help. We have help that isn't natural. We have help that's supernatural. Aren't you glad for that? And Aaron and Hur can symbolize the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, coming alongside of us, fortifying us. We need to be people of the Word. We need to be people that read the Bible, study the Bible, consume the Bible on days that end in Y. We need the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and be our helper when nobody else can help us. And you notice that they took him over and they set him where? On a rock. Isn't Jesus, isn't it good that Jesus is our rock? Okay, just thought maybe you dozed off. Don't want that to happen. Help from the Lord as Moses prayed and interceded on the mountain and victory in the valley. Those two things go together. When Moses grew tired, they lost. The Apostle Paul speaks of those that strengthened him in letters to the church. In Hebrews, he says, let us consider how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. We encourage one another, like Aaron and Hur encouraged Moses. 1 Thessalonians says, therefore encourage and comfort one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Our daily spiritual battles can be overcome like the battle in the valley below Moses if we will maximize our Bible time. Hello? That was an amen moment. I know if you say amen that somehow in the back of your mind there's a commitment being made. Yeah, we need to maximize our Bible time. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit goes, I'm going to hold you to it. And he should, and we should. There's nothing more wonderful than the Word of God. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith, the scripture says. That's why people go to the gym, right? To build themselves up. It takes a little work, takes a little effort. It takes more than just putting on the gym clothes and standing in the lobby. You actually have to do it. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Get some kind of a systematic word study thing. Do it. I've heard a lot about small groups. We're in a generation of small groups, and small groups are wonderful. This is where people can cluster around and lift each other's arm up. But I also want to encourage you about micro groups. Micro groups. Micro groups are the ones that gather around their living room with their family and pray together. Amen. And read the Bible together. Even if there's rolling of eyes. Oh, Dad. Oh, Mom. Come on. Yeah, put your device away and let's sit down and let's read the Bible for a little while. Let's read some scripture. Let's talk. Let's pray together. Micro groups are a good idea. I think I'm going to patent that idea. Help from the Holy Spirit. Parakletos, one called alongside. Invite the Holy Spirit into your equation. Jesus said, it is expedient. That means pretty necessary. It's expedient for you that I go away so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're humans. And he knows what knuckleheads we can be. He knows how fearful and inconsistent and preoccupied with our own agendas that we can be. And we need the Holy Spirit to come and give us that elbow in the ribs. You said amen at church for more Bible time. Crack that baby open. Oh, it's so heavy. Oh, 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 oh. But in it is life and help and strength and healing. In it are the promises of God. When Jesus says, I will, that's a promise. And he doesn't break his promises. What happens on the mountain matters in the valley. If the worship team can come, I know we're probably a little ahead of everybody else's schedule, but I've done so good to this point, I don't want to say anything else and mess it up. So that's, that comes from years of pastoral experience, you know. When you've said it, shut up. And mostly I've said it. What happens on the mountain, what happens on your mountain matters. Moses had a battle plan. Do you have a battle plan? Are you going to go out of here and shovel this message over your... Yeah, he was a fill-in. Yeah, they went to the bullpen and... No, are you going to shovel it over your shoulder? Or hopefully, I would like to see us take it to heart. Because it's not stuff that I'm saying. It's stuff that the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage us about, because the days that we are living in are perilous times, and that devil is seeking whom he may devour. And you may have been a Christian for 1,000 years, but he knows your weaknesses. He knows when to get you. So stay alert. Stay ready. I have a scripture that I think is up on the screen here. Psalm 18, 1-3. It says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Stand with me as we read this, please. Read it with me. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and he saved me from my enemies. I love you, Lord. Now, we have some prayer people that are going to come down to the front. And you may have a bag of goodies that you've been dragging out of Egypt, pulling you down, weighting you down, pulling you back. Something that Satan uses against you over and over and over again. And you've been in the valley way too long. And God wants to deliver you from that. He wants to help you unload that today. I don't want to go down in front of everybody. They'll see me and they'll think I'm an inferior Christian or something. No. No, that's not what it's about. What it's about is being honest before God, taking off the mask for a minute, and letting God come to your rescue like he did in the valley. It's your valley. You can do with it what you want. But let the Lord help you. Let the Lord win the battles for you today and every day that ends in Y. Father, we love you. We need you. We're thankful, Lord, that when Israel needed help in the valley, you came and you delivered them. And there were things that Moses and Aaron and Hur were involved with, and there are things that happened on that mountaintop that determined the outcome in the valley, and there are things on our mountaintop. Help us to develop a mountaintop of prayer and word and your presence of your spirit, a mountaintop of dependence upon you in the face of horrible adversity, perhaps. And Lord, I just pray that you will give us the victory as we follow after you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen.